Kansas law enforcement will begin working with the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency, or ICE, to apprehend undocumented people with criminal backgrounds. Kansas Attorney General Chris Kobach announced a new agreement between his office, the Kansas Bureau of Investigation, and the U.S. Department of Homeland Security on Monday. Kansas is the second state to enter such an agreement, which Kobach said aims to deport dangerous criminals and gang members. He said that all across Kansas, illegal aliens who are dangerous criminals or gang members are released back to the streets on a regular basis. However, that will end as this agreement will ensure that those criminals are deported. Under the deal, select KBI agents will receive ICE training to arrest undocumented people, execute warrants, and issue immigration detainers, and the agreement is based on the Immigration and Nationality Act. KBI Director Tony Matavi said the agreement will aid as another tool for the KBI to remove known criminal offenders out of our communities. Matavi said this agreement will not shift the KBI's investigative priorities, but will allow them to more swiftly achieve justice in cases in which the KBI currently focuses: major violent crimes, crimes committed against children, and targeting drug trafficking organizations. Texas was the first state to enter the agreement with ICE. Kansas senators and representatives successfully voted in favor of overriding Governor Kelly's first veto action of the year. The Kansas Senate voted 31-9 on Tuesday, February 18th, to override Governor Kelly's veto of Senate Bill 63, also known as the Help Not Harm Act, which would add new restrictions to the use of state funds regarding the promotion of gender transitions and prohibit health care providers from providing gender transition care to children whose gender identity is inconsistent with the child's sex. A supermajority of the Kansas Senate declared that Kansas is no longer a sanctuary state for the maiming and sterilization of minors, according to Republican Senate President Ty Masterson. He said this action is consistent with President Trump's executive order to stop these barbaric procedures nationwide. He said, "Let's also never forget the bravery of the victims and whistleblowers who have testified and stood up for the protection of children, and Kansas stands with them." The Kansas House followed suit on February 18th, voting in favor of the veto override, with representatives voting in favor of the override at 84-35, allowing the bill to become a law despite the governor's disapproval. Governor Kelly vetoed SB 63 on February 11th. She issued a statement regarding her decision to veto the bill, saying the Kansas legislature should be focused on more pressing issues like rising prices. Representative Susan Humphreys, a Republican chair of the House Judiciary Committee, introduced House Bill 2062 that would place in statute that a pregnant woman could receive court-ordered child support on behalf of a fetus from the moment of conception. Kansas judges possessed authority to order payments for health and pregnancy-related expenditures. However, Humphreys said the judicial branch was inconsistent when handling requests for financial support. Representative Dan Osman, a Democrat from Overland Park, proposed an amendment that would have retained portions of the bill, clarifying legitimacy of child support orders related to expenses prior to the birth of a child, and would have deleted text that went beyond settling the judicial question. His amendment was rejected by the House Republican majority by more than 50 votes. As Humphrey said, it guts almost all of the bill, and that really takes away from the heart of the bill. She also said the legislation would be helpful to pregnant women who were able to choose life for a fetus instead of an abortion. During a House floor debate, Representative John Carmichael, a Democrat from Wichita, said there was no reason to add a new layer to a statute that echoed the opportunity for a woman to seek child support while pregnant. He said language in the bill was designed to bolster arguments for fetal personhood status and against abortion rights that were affirmed by the Kansas Supreme Court and subsequently by Kansas voters in 2022. He said this is a stealth bill, an attempt to sneak something through in contravention of the right of bodily autonomy, which citizens of the state overwhelmingly approved. And GOP Representative Bob Lewis of Garden City argued that Osman's amendment was neither innocent or benign. In Nebraska news, 49-year-old Lisa Beverly of Lincoln was arrested on Friday, February 14th, and was charged with second-degree assault, first-degree false imprisonment, and use of a deadly weapon to commit a felony after being accused of holding a Lincoln man captive and stabbing him with a soldering iron. According to court documents, at about 7 a.m. on that day, police were called to an apartment near 48th and Holdridge Streets on a report of two people fighting, with one 911 caller saying she could hear a man screaming, "Help me," and banging on the wall. Officers said when they arrived, they heard a man loudly screaming, "Help," and "Let me out," and Beverly then led the officers in the apartment. Police said they found a 60-year-old man bleeding from multiple wounds to his head. The bedroom was in complete disarray with broken glass on the floor, and the man told officers that he and Beverly had been arguing. He said about 30 minutes before the police arrived, Beverly had stabbed him between the eyes with a soldering iron, and she then hit him in the head with a coffee pot and a laptop. Investigators said they found all three items on the floor of the apartment. The laptop was damaged and had blood on it. And in total, police said the victim suffered four wounds to his head, including puncture wounds to his face. A judge set Beverly's bond at $200,000, and her next court appearance is scheduled for March 13th. On Thursday, February 13th, the Nebraska Department of Agriculture reported another case of bird flu in the state. In a press release, the department said a case of highly pathogenic avian influenza was found in a backyard flock in Saunders County, and this is the third time in 2025 that bird flu has been detected in a flock in Nebraska. In December, bird flu cases were reported in Nemaha, Dodge, Sarpy, Lancaster, and Johnson counties. Resources for poultry producers can be found on the department's website. An agriculture official said producers should report poultry experiencing signs of bird flu to the State Department of Agriculture or the U.S. Department of Agriculture.